Today, we're tackling a big one, money. And joining us to explore our faith and finance intersect is our special guest, Katie Jones, as the visionary behind RedeemingYourFinances.com. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's another Church Solutions Podcast. Had to think about what this thing was called. Welcome, everybody. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, how are you today?
Doing okay.
All right. No bike ride yet today?
Nope. That's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and this being Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, Mr. Routine.
It was a
here.
Treadmill day for me, though.
Yeah. Well, every day is a treadmill. Pad. Isn't every day a treadmill day for you?
If I ride the bike, I don't do the – it's actually a walking pad. It's not – we got rid of the treadmill.
As you know, I have a walking pad now I got from Amazon, and I've elevated it. It doesn't elevate itself, the front, you know. And so I've taken blocks of bricks, and I think I've got about a 15% incline now. And it's quite a workout, to be honest with you. And so – anyhow, all right. Beautiful weather we've been having here in Tucson, Arizona, although the allergy season has kicked in, and I had just terrible allergies yesterday because I had the windows open, you know, and then I was outside afterwards. And man, I just, my allergies really bother me. Do you have allergies, Steve?
Not traditional allergies. I have, I don't want to get into our ailments too.
Okay.
I don't get the runny nose, watery eyes, things. I'll get sinus headaches. So sinus pressure headaches. But usually I think it's allergy driven. Enough of that. Let's move on.
Shall we move on? Okay. Yes. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us, folks. All right. So before we start, this is episode number 473. And we do want to encourage people before we get to our guest today. And we're excited about our guest today. She's on for the first time. But before we get to our guest, free webinar, May 27th. And it is going to be at 12 noon. And it is called AI and the Church, a clear guide for the curious and courageous. And this is going to be presented with our guest presenter, Jason Moore. And he's going to be talking about this, actually based on his book, AI and the Church. So Jason Moore is great. He's great on our podcast. He's great on webinars. We've had him on the webinars before. He'll do lots of illustrations. We'll have a live Q&A. So tune in.
Probably will be a magic show, right? So
yeah,
for sure,
absolutely. Yeah. He loves doing that stuff, and he's a speaker. He's an author, obviously, and it's May 27th. So sign up. Go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, and even if you don't plan to go, sign up anyhow, because you'll get the recorded copy of the webinar if you can't make it. But you really should come, because he'll do it live, and you can, you know, do some live Q&A and put them on the spot. All right. So there you go. Okay. Let me read our guest bio here. Today's guest is the visionary behind Redeeming Your Finances. That's, I think, the name of the website. And she embodies a passion for empowering individuals to manage their money in alignment with their faith. And as a youth pastor's wife, she's a mom and graduate of Colorado Christian University. She travels a lot. She's a real estate investor. Need to get some tips on real estate probably from her. And certified Christian financial counselor. Her diverse experiences have shaped her understanding of the intersection between faith and finances. I'm excited about our guest today. Please welcome Katie Jones to the Church Solutions Podcast. Katie, how are you?
Hey, Phil and Steve. Thanks for having me. I am wonderful. And you said that you have wonderful weather there right now, but here in Colorado, it is rainy and cold, unfortunately. So I would love some of that weather to come this way. So I'm cold.
Yeah. Do you have allergies, by the way?
Not as badly as it sounds like you do, but my husband does. So I feel like I feel his pain in this season. So I get it in that sense.
You said Denver metropolitan area. Is that right?
Yes.
My son went to school in Aurora for 4 years. Is that, or that's on the northeast side of town?
Yep, I'm kind of on the opposite end of the city, but I get out to Aurora occasionally. So yeah.
All right. Yeah, he's a big snowboarder, and so he would always buy the season passes, and so we would get to come and take advantage of his season pass because he had buddy passes. You buy the.
Yes.
Are you a snowboarder skier?
In a future life, or in a past life, actually, I used to be. I tore my ACL in 2015 while I was skiing, and I haven't really gotten back into it. But during college, I got out there quite often, and I used to really love it. But it's expensive, and it takes a lot of time to drive up to the mountains. And
yeah.
It's just, yeah. You know, having kids, it's hard now.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. You have kids, yeah. So I'm a former pastor. I can tell. I'm sure you can tell that by looking at me. And one of the things that I was really big on with married couples, or at least premarital counseling, was finances. In fact, that's my understanding. One of the top things on the list when it comes to problems in marriages. Right? Am I right about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, and so I would even do a series at least once a year on finances. In the churches that I pastored at. So
that's great.
You've got a real diverse background. How did you get into this thing? and let's promote your website real quick before I forget, because I liked it. What's the name of the website? And tell us how you got into this.
Yeah. So Redeeming Your Finances is my website, and it's my online school for believers to learn how to manage their money in light of the gospel. And I mean, as you kind of said in my bio, I have had a kind of almost a strange array of experiences looking back at it. But my journey kind of started in college when I was working for a property management firm at the time. So I was helping residential property owners rent out their properties to tenants across the Denver metro area. And I was really enjoying seeing what they were doing with like buying real estate and renting it out and earning an income from it. I found that really fascinating. And while I was still a junior and senior in college, I kind of started investigating what it might look like to become a real estate investor once I graduated college. And I got my actual real estate license right after I graduated. The company I was working with helped me go through that process and get all the licensing. And I was just really enveloped into this whole world of real estate. And when it comes to investing in real estate, or really any investing in general, you need to have finances, right? Obviously, you need to have money to go and invest. So I realized that I needed to understand just how to have a budget and manage my money well. So with this passion or this curiosity to become a real estate investor, out of necessity, I had to become really good at managing my money and actually save money in order to go and invest it. And so, yeah, I learned a lot about budgeting. I picked up a lot of books. I listened to a ton of podcasts and videos on YouTube and just started becoming a real lifelong learner of money management. And eventually it turned into, my husband and I got married in 2018. This was a couple years then after college. And a few months after we got married, we bought our first rental property, and I started a blog to kind of talk about what we were doing with our real estate investments. And I also was kind of talking about how to bring our faith a little bit more into our investing and what that looks like to be Christian landlords, and how do we love our tenants, and how do we just provide well for them and do this with excellence for the glory of God. Eventually, that kind of turned into people asking me if I would help them one-on-one with their finances so they could kind of get them in order so that eventually they could invest in real estate or just invest for their retirement in general. And so in 2020 was when I officially started coaching. And then I kind of did everything backwards. I just kind of started learning all this stuff and then helping people. And then I got a certification. So I became a certified Christian financial counselor. So that way I could act like really know what I was talking about when I was helping people. And it wasn't that I couldn't help them. It was just more non-structured, I guess. It was just kind of, here's what I've learned and here's how I can help you just implement it. But now, after getting a certification and building out a more robust program and some like a set milestone path that clients go through, I've just been able to see a lot more success with my clients because I know a little bit more about like what I'm doing and how I can help them to make the transformations that they need with their money. So that's kind of it in a compacted nutshell as best as I could.
Yeah. So your background sounds eerily familiar somewhat to somebody that's in this personal finance space that started out as a real estate investor and got into a bunch of trouble.
Oh, yes.
And and then has kind of shaped his financial perspective from that. Yep. And then there's people probably know who I'm talking about. And then the other.
I don't. Who is that? Dave Ramsey?
Yeah, Dave Ramsey. So he kind of got burned with debt and has kind of been on fire for debt. And then so I have other Christian friends that. Yeah. For me, I have four boys, four adult boys, three are married. One will be married this year.
Wow,
and
congrats.
For every one of them, the requirement was to go through a financial training course. And that was, it was very, and the first one that went through it, he was kind of, this is pretty good. You know, this was useful. And it was both useful for I have four boys, and so they're for their spouse and them, they both. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of set them on a really good foundation, I think. So there's what I was trying to get to here. So there's kind of the Dave Ramsey philosophy of personal finance. I'm sure you're going to tell us more about your one. The other one that's popular out there, I don't even know if it's still popular, but I'm older. So a lot of my friends with coaching their kids would go through Crown Financial.
That's
and I'm not
as
familiar with Crown tenants. How does redeeming your finances differ between some of the other one systems that have been out there for a while?
Yeah. I would say redeeming your finances more closely aligns what you'd find in Crown Financial. Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University have done a lot of tremendous things for a lot of people. And they typically right now have been the solution for churches when it comes to teaching everybody about finances, because it's one of the most well-known and most accessible. Where I find that I differ, like Redeeming Your Finances differs from Financial Peace University, is I actually kind of flip things on its head in the sense that I really love focusing on generosity and giving before we kind of even get into some of the budgeting and debt payoff and things like that, because I really believe that when we go through scripture, when we look at the life of Jesus, that he himself puts things like generosity before our own well-being. And so I really believe that it is the gospel way of kind of doing your finances is to focus outside of ourselves. So Redeeming Your Finances kind of focuses on two main pillars almost. So it's contentment and kingdom advancement. And so it's finding that balance between what is enough for me and how can I be content with what God has provided me with, and how can I focus on building up and advancing God's kingdom rather than focusing only on my own kingdom and what's going on within my own household and focusing on my own comforts and things. And so I don't want to bash Dave Ramsey, and that's not what I'm here to do, but I really think that, you know, I've actually gone through Financial Peace University myself, and I did find that it seemed to focus a little bit more on the filling up your own bucket in order to overflow. And I think there's like a little bit of evidence that we can kind of go to the Bible and say like, okay, this sounds good. But I also think, you know, when Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, I don't think he was at this point where he's like thinking of himself first. He's like always thinking about the good of all of us and what is going to bring the most glory to God in this situation. So that's kind of how I like reverse things, and just the idea of like, what is outrageous generosity? I don't think it's a number. I don't think, you know, it's once you have enough money and you can give a ton away. I think outrageous generosity really comes from the sacrifice that we're making with our finances. Mm-hmm. So it kind of flips it on its head just a little bit. I add in a lot of like coaching and accountability and everything. So
Yeah. I think that's good. I remember seeing something, Dave Ramsey, somebody asked him how many homes he owned, and he didn't know. But anyhow,
oh my gosh,
what are some of the common struggles? I cut Steve off. What are some of the common struggles and misconceptions that you see Christians facing today when it comes to their own finances?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think so many people come to me and they're like, okay, I need to learn how to manage my money. I need to figure out what is the best way to build a budget. What's the best way to invest my money? And I used to think this as well, where I'd come to a problem and I thought that the solution was knowledge or a better budget or more money or you name it. But what I found is that it really begins with the heart and a heart change and recognizing that we need a new lens to view our finances through before we can actually like implement a new budget and make more money or find a new investment strategy. And it really starts with, again, kind of going back to that contentment piece and finding peace within our finances before we grow them, before we advance our own financial well-being. Because if we just bring in more money, if we have a good budget, it's not going to be able to last. It won't be lasting. It won't stick around unless we adjust our heart posture first and really come at it with a sense of gratitude for what God has given us. And yeah, so the misconception would really be that we think that we need these other things, a better budget and more money, but it really is more of Jesus and more of that like gospel perspective for our finances that we need.
Yeah. So I was going to poke at this contentment piece a little bit. Mm-hmm. We live in a very materialistic world today in society, and all of media and everything is telling us you need this to be happy. And so how do you, and it's not contentment necessarily with your most people are not content with their finances because their material wants and desires are being satiated and their finances are out of whack. That's probably the average American. So how do you teach people to be content or to find contentment?
Yeah, it's definitely not an easy process. And it's something that I personally struggle with all the time. I've heard it said by some of my other kind of Christian finance friends that money is kind of the perfect idol because it gives us a sense of power. You know, you can do so much with money. It can buy you a lot of things. And because of that, we think that money alone is going to be able to give us the comforts and satisfactions and security and control that we want in our lives. But when we pursue it that way, it obviously leads to destruction and discontentment over time. And so it's kind of rewriting the story. And actually, one of the exercises that I go through with my clients is them kind of writing what their money story is and how they got to this point with their money. So where did they learn how to spend their money? Where did they learn that they have to live for payday? Where did they learn to, you know, just focus on the next vacation or building up their financial reserves? Where did they learn all these things? So that way we can kind of nail down and pinpoint what it is that needs to be kind of unlearned in order to build it up, like build in them these new gospel-centered principles for their finances. So it's a lot of reflecting and just going back and forth and allowing themselves to open their hearts to the gospel and for the Holy Spirit to kind of rewrite things. And so the reason that I got this certification as a financial counselor is that it really is a lot of counseling. I mean, one of my clients one time said to me that she's like, I feel like we do more life coaching than we do financial coaching. But it's so true that like we have to talk more about our lives and our own heart desires before we can actually get to the part of like building the budget and everything. Because again, it has to be rewritten, and we have to have that foundation that comes from Christ alone before we can kind of build off of that.
It sounds like you would agree with a quote from Jonathan Swift: a wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart.
Yeah, that's, I really like that. Wow, I might have to steal that.
Jonathan
I've never
Swift.
Heard that one before.
Well, he's been around. He was a couple hundred years. But anyhow, go ahead, Steve.
So you mentioned budget, and do you know off the top of your head? I hate to put you on the spot here, but what percentage of Americans operate their household without a budget?
Oh, it's, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's more than half at least, if not something more like 60 to 70%. And the thing is too, people, I have many clients who come to me and they're like, well, I've kind of budgeted. I kind of know like, okay, I make maybe $3,000 a month and my rent is $1,000. And so I have $2,000 and like half of that kind of goes to groceries and eating out. And, you know, and they just kind of have these general estimates and they're like, it kind of works out at the end of the month, but then I don't actually have money left over to save for whatever these goals are or to be able to invest or to be more generous with. And so the process really begins before we ever actually set up a budget is going through and looking at their past spending habits. It's really tedious. And I have so many clients who are like, why are we doing this? But once we have the data, they're like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea I was spending $1,000 on groceries every single month. And that's just so crazy. And so it's like, once you have that data, you're like, oh, there's so many easy ways that we can kind of reprioritize our finances. And they're like, I could spend only $800 on groceries and now save that $200 and give it to my church because I've always wanted to be able to give more. And now I found the money to do that. So yeah, a budget is so important.
Yeah. Or there's that $400 to Starbucks or something. You're like, no, it's just a few bucks a day kind of a
thing. That was so me. and that's how a budget was so helpful because I started tracking and I was like, I literally was spending hundreds of dollars going to coffee shops and getting snacks throughout the day. Because again, real estate, I was driving around a lot and I would stop at all these places and I just didn't realize like how quickly it added up.
It adds up, doesn't it? I have a young couple that I have counseled. Spoiler alert, it's my son and his wife. And I've talked specifically about that. I said, you guys go to Circle K and get stuff all the time. But what if you don't have any money?
And most people are like, oh, it's only $3, you know. Mm-hmm. But once you do your budget and you start tracking your budget, which, I mean, going back to my fourth son that will be married soon and he's going through – he commented about going through the training was so helpful for his wife because of a budget. Because she just knew that she didn't have any money left, but she had no idea where it went. And it just created a ton of stress and in her life. And being able to sit down and start working on a budget and start tracking to the budget, it created freedom for her because she could go and say, I want to maintain my Starbucks habit. And then once you do the budget, you can go, I got $200 in my Starbucks budget, you know, and I just keep track of it and make sure that, you know, and it's just kind of freeing rather than kind of, playing from the seat of your pants kind of a thing. So that was one of the things that they got out of it was just introducing a budget to their life where they hadn't done that before.
That's actually a really good point that my goal is never for individuals to eliminate all the things that they love in life. If somebody loves Starbucks, and especially like if that is something that is life-giving to them to go out and sit at a coffee shop or, you know, if it's Netflix or any sort of other like entertainment thing that usually gets bashed on and people are like, you must eliminate that. That's never my goal, is to get people to never enjoy their money and their resources, because I think that God really does bless us and want us to enjoy the fruits of our labor here while we're on the earth. And And if we do eliminate everything that's enjoyable to us, it really causes budget burnout. And I've seen that a lot of times when people are like, I must eat rice and beans in order to pay off all my debt. And you're like, you could. I mean, it's an effective way to do it. But are you really going to enjoy the next several months or years that you're doing this? Or is it going to be an extreme burden for you? So if there is something that is like Starbucks or going out for coffee or eating out at nice restaurants, like plan for that in your budget and then find other things that maybe aren't life-giving to you that you can take away from and not spend as much money from. But it's all about determining what that is for yourself.
Yeah, that's really good advice, Katie. Katie Jones, so we're running out of time here, but I want to ask you a question, and then I want to make sure people know how their church, you know, answer the question first, answer the question. But then I also want to make sure people listening, pastors and executive pastors and people involved here can figure out a way, can know how to get your ministry involved in their ministry. So the question I have is there a piece of advice, one piece of advice, financial advice, obviously, that you believe everybody should adhere to?
Yeah, that is a great question. One piece of advice. I would recommend that people reevaluate what the prosperity gospel is, because I've learned that in my own life, even as a Christian financial counselor, like that I was falling for a version of the prosperity gospel. And it really is just asking money to do for us what only God can do. And so when we're looking for our money to be our comfort and hope for our future and to give us status, we are really out of alignment with Jesus. And so I think all of us, especially in the Western cultures, we fall for a version of that. And so just kind of taking, like, the advice, I guess, would be just to reevaluate that in your own life and to kind of do a heart check and allow the Holy Spirit to do some work there.
Yeah. Kenneth Copeland finances. Would be very disappointed in that. But all right. So I'm a pastor. I'm listening. I'm liking what I'm hearing here. I'm liking this Katie Jones. How can I get material or content or something to help the people in my church?
Yeah. So Redeeming Your Finances is my online school. There's a lot of free resources on the website, but we also offer discounts for larger congregations. And if you want to have like a church group go through the Redeeming Your Finances school together, just reach out to me via email or find me on our website at redeemingyourfinances.com. But it's just katie@redeemingyourfinances.com is where you can email me and we can chat to see what is the best solution for your church to get you set up with that.
So tell me about the course. How there's, some of them are a set of weeks, so many hours a week. What's it going to entail if I want to sign up for the course?
The elevator pitch. Yeah.
So right now, if an individual or a couple were to go to the website, they could just sign up for the course and go through it on their own. And it's kind of self-guided. They would receive some coaching and accountability from me, as well as like group coaching sessions. And the course goes through five pillars, the five pillars of biblical money management, which are give, live, save, owe, and grow. And so we go through each of those pillars. There's like a biblical equipment of like, this is what the Bible says and what it teaches and how we can start to implement it. And then there's a element of just practical implementation of what that looks like and how you can set up a gospel-centered financial system for you and your household. So that's kind of in a nutshell what the course would be like. But for a church, if they're looking for something like a group to go through, I do offer like a live session. It would be virtual depending on where you're at. And then we could jump on Zoom call kind of things. And I could go through like a series of weeks. And it really kind of depends. I've modeled it for different amounts of time, whether it's just like a couple weeks or a few months, and just kind of depends on what your group is looking for. And we can kind of compact it to fit the needs of your group.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Okay. Katie Jones has been our guest today on the Church Solutions podcast. And again, the website is redeemingyourfinances.com. Stick around for a moment, Katie, after we're done here recording. But if people need to get a hold of Katie, you can do that there, or you can just always reach out to us. We're at streamingchurch.tv. Just go to the website and you can chat with us or whatever, and we'll point you towards Katie. And again, thank you so much, Katie, for your time here today. We sure appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And folks, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode.